Hi everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Well, welcome everyone to our 18th episode. We're so glad you're here. We just left off last episode on the Red Rose. Clara was all destroyed and all that sad stuff. And so we're moving forward as a disclaimer that we're starting to kind of just put up here. Episode 6 is the Final Fantasy IX series opener. I would recommend going back to that if you're just new and joining us here, which of course we're glad, but kind of don't want to just throw you into the middle of something here. So we are well into the Final Fantasy IX story. We're kind of doing this like as a walkthrough playthrough. It's not 100% comprehensive, but we are trying our absolute best to give all the info you need kind of in a nice summed up little spot. So anyways, yeah. Episode 6, that's where you need to go. But for us, we are continuing on.
Right, yeah, I left off on the Red Rose. So yeah, they head back to Alexandria. And now we've got, it turns to Steiner and Marcus in the cage.
Oh, yes.
Up in the air, and you got to do this whole little mini game thing, I guess you can call it, but you just basically have to, like, swing back and forth or something until.
Now, before we really go into that, because I just remembered, a side note I wanted to talk about, because I almost screwed up on the Red Rose. Keep in mind saves for the remastered version. When you just like you're on the home screen and you hit continue, that's actually going to be going off the auto save, no matter if you saved it. So for instance, here was a situation that we left off last episode and that I began for this episode and almost messed up. You're on the Red Rose, you got that Mog, right? She comes out and we talked about it last episode. Make sure you go up there, you talk to her, turn in the letter, get a letter, whatever it was, I forget, but that's what you want to do. I saved it, I turned off the game. When I came back the next time, I hit continue. Why? Because that's what you do, it's right there, you hit continue.
Right.
I almost progressed the story past, because when you load in an autosave, it does not account for anything that you did in that zone afterwards. So for instance, I went to that zone, I talked to the Mog, none of that was saved, even though I saved my game. Now, if I loaded my save, which is what I would recommend you do, then everything's fine, but I didn't, you know, and so I was like, oh gosh, so I went back, you know, I had to talk to her again, I gotta get, it's what, Sereno the Moogle, I had to deliver one, you get a new letter for Mudin, anyway, so I just wanted to make, you know, kind of hit on that. If you do hit continue a lot like I do, just kind of be mindful of those times where you're at a spot that's really easy to just go ahead and progress and then miss all the stuff that you thought you did, because you did do it, but it just didn't save it.
Yeah, because I think you have to, it saves on like a screen transition, right?
From yep, one area you got
to
it.
The next or something. Yeah, interesting. All right, so anyways. Yeah, so we got the little cage mini game thing.
Yes.
And you basically swing back and forth until it hits the side of the walkway in the castle, and then they can escape. I just think it's so weird. Like, why are they the only ones in this type of a cage? You know what I mean? They're just, like, stuck up there in the air, and nobody else.
Yeah, I know.
It's so strange.
And they put them together. You know, they didn't separate. There's only this one cage up there. It's, like, extreme, you know, isolation or something. I don't know. I have to ask you with this, though, man. Have you ever gotten stuck on that minigame? To where you're hitting over and it's just it's slowly getting there, but it's not quite going enough.
Oh yeah, dude. And I've seen other people, other walkthroughs, other gamers who have done this. And honestly, it's tough to tell if you're even doing it right sometimes.
Yeah.
And if you're not hitting the left or right directional button or the analog stick at pretty much the perfect time, it'll just like maintain the momentum, but it won't
do anything.
Increase it, so you won't increase the swing. So it can take like 5 to 10 minutes sometimes if you're not doing it perfectly. It's weird.
So here's what I found out, because I say that because of my playthrough that I did like months ago. You know, that was like my first kind of serious one in decades. I was doing it. I was hitting, you know, left and right. It was doing fine. It was timing. It just was never going enough until one point through it, and this is the hilarious part. I moved the stick again. I was like, wait a second, you can do it twice in the same direction?
I thought
it was only one, and I was sitting there going back and forth, hitting it twice. And so Or, I mean, once, but you can hit it twice. So that is actually, that's the key, because this time, dude, I knocked it out in like 30 seconds flat. So easy. You just keep going in that direction. So say it's about to swing to the right, you hit right, and then as soon as you're able, just keep mashing it. You'll go, and then you'll go back and hit it. And so, dude, oh my gosh, it makes it go so much faster, bro. I'm glad I remembered that. Because, yeah, the first definitely. Time, it took me forever. But anyways, moving on. Just kind of a note, Steiner on my game. I was able to steal Ice Brand from Beatrice about 5 minutes before this. And, you know, no big deal. He was just cranking out to 850 on the soldiers with it in the power belt. So he's just one-shotting everything. So that's pretty cool. Another thing I noticed, too, is, you know, you break out and you have to run around. The soldiers are chasing you. That's how you get in these battles. But once you work your way all the way to the left, there's a ladder. And it was hilarious because I noticed this. When you hop on the ladder, the soldiers, wherever they're at, they stop and just start looking around like, hey, wait a second, where'd he go? And it's like, he's right there on the ladder, man. You can't see him?
They can't climb ladders, apparently, in this game. Don't know. But interesting note about this part, too. So this is, you know, of course, you break out of the cage and you've got the Alexandrian soldiers coming up. There's actually an infinite supply of those. So if you kind of stay, I think they spawn only if the ladder isn't in view.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
If you're over on the right, they'll just continuously spawn. You can actually just sit there and level up a lot. Just fighting them over and over again. They're really easy. But anyways, so yeah, like what you said, and this is also a critical point to anybody listening to this. Please, unequip Marcus from anything important because something's about to happen and he's going to steal all of your equipment that's on him. So
yeah.
Be careful of that.
Yeah, so if you did actually put anything on Marcus, I never do, and I never did there either. I didn't need to with one-hit Wonder Steiner. So, but if you do, yeah, you're going to lose it if you don't unequip it. But, you know, you progress. You just kind of run a little bit, and boom, you know, right as Steiner and Marcus get there, here comes Zidane, Freya, and Vivi in the little bubbles, and it's like, hey, what's up, guys? No big deal. We're just all right here at the exact same time. Convenient.
Seen you in a while. Oh, what have you been up to?
No. I know, right? It's like no time for small talk, right? But everyone's back together. It's cool. And they all have the same goal. They know they need to save the princess. And guess what? You got 30 minutes. You only got 30 minutes. That leaves 1 minute to save the princess, 29 minutes to go do all the other stuff that you need to do here. So
exactly.
We got plenty of time. Some kind of little funny thing I laughed is, man, you know, like, You move through to like a gated kind of little area, and Marcus hits the gate and the soldiers on the other side. And it's funny because you can go after everyone, you know, plans their moves out and they leave. You can go talk to the soldiers. It's just kind of funny. It's like, hey, what's going on? How you guys liking in there? You know?
Yeah, it's really funny because they'll just sit there and they're like, let us out immediately or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That. Like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to stand here and have a nice little conversation with you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I don't know why Zidane didn't start hitting on him. That's like the prime opportunity right there. You got some hot babes, you know, as the soldiers. They can't actually arrest you, and so, yeah.
Yep. No, it's surprising he didn't. But anyways, at this point, everybody's reunited. Marcus goes off to the evil forest to go save Bro.
Right.
We all know who that is. And now we've got a party of Zidane, Steiner, Vivi, and Freya.
Yep.
And we got like Mark was just saying, we got 30 minutes to go and save the princess. So you head on over to the castle, and there's a little optional boss there, right?
There is, but if you do want to make a quick little side trip first, before going to the castle itself, if you kind of go left to the area, if you think way back where Steiner had to climb the spiral staircase all the way back at the beginning, it's funny, you'll see some Knights of Pluto there. I was expecting a little bit more. I would think that it would do one of the kind of little side things where Steiner comes out, you know, and actually talks to them. Doesn't happen that way. But it's just hysterical, the fact that there are two Knights of Pluto there. Who they are, I don't know. But you talk to them, and they're just very, just like, it's almost like, yeah, I'm just making a sandwich. You know, it's very non-soldier-like. And it's like, dude, we are literally convicts right now escaping. Are you guys don't want to arrest us at all? You're good? You know, it's like, nah, we're good. Just chill.
Oh, they couldn't even if they tried.
That's true.
But yeah,
anyways,
I've never actually known that.
Yeah, it was. I was just exploring, and I thought that was funny. But yes, what Alex was alluding to is if you do go into the castle area, make sure that as soon as you enter, you go straight to the left, the castle itself, take you to the library. And man, this is something else. So what is it? Tantarian? Is that his name?
Yeah.
So he is a book and he's on a shelf. And yeah. I remember, and we were talking at the moment, the last time, so months ago when I was fighting it, and I was having the hardest time in the world. But it's actually not that difficult, is it?
No, once you know how to beat him, it's not that bad, but it is tricky to figure out. So, yeah, it's in the library, so you just run left, just like Mark said, and then basically, I think the way that you encounter him is in between the bookcases over on the left side of the room. You can get a little exclamation mark, and then you do that, and you have like a little option of dialogue with him.
Yep.
And it's something like, do you wish to challenge me? Say yes, and then you know, it's basically like, leave now or else I'm gonna mess you up, and you just don't leave, and then you get into a fight with him. This guy is really tough. If you don't know what you're doing, you're probably gonna get a game over.
Oh, probably. Dude, you're going to get a game over, absolutely.
Right. But there's a strategy. So what did you do?
Well, so I'll tell you what my first strategy was, you know, back in the day, a couple months ago, I was just taking him on. I didn't know the kind of parameters on what you need to do. And you were kind of telling me as I was fighting, but you know, at that point it was gone. First off, I mean, the reason why you are going to get a game over at this point, if you don't know how to fight him, he has 22,000 health, which is just leaps and bounds above anything you have fought up to this point. I mean, yeah. Beatrice had like 4,000, to put it in perspective, right? The other thing is Paper Storm. I mean, he's got some strong moves, but Paper Storm is an AoE like little attack that hits everyone and kills absolutely Vivi. Vivi's gone, and then usually we'll kill someone else as well, depending on health. So it's kind of hard to fight that way, but you don't even have to worry about any of that, because, and what I got confused on, where you were trying to tell me that the first time, is you just need to have Steiner use Minus Strike. So you need his health to be 150 to 200 below his max. Now, what I misunderstood was you needed his health to be 150 into between 150 and 200. So that's why I was trying to do it. No, you don't need it to be that. You need that to be that below his max HP, because it's all about Minus Strike, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And so the reason why this is important is because this guy has some really interesting parameters. So the first thing you'll notice is that it's a closed book when you first encounter him. Or, you know, the first starts, the battle is going and all that kind of stuff. His defense is incredibly high. So you'll attack him with like a normal attack. It'll do like 40 or 50 damage. I mean, there is just no way you're going to do a lot of damage to him.
No.
But basically, it's a really interesting dynamic with this enemy, because whatever you hit him for, he opens the book to that page.
Right.
And the idea here is that you need to hit for a certain amount of damage to open him to a page that actually exposes the enemy himself, Tantarian. It's a really interesting like enemy, and just a weird way that they chose to do it, but
yeah,
that's the way this works. So you want to hit between 150 and 200 damage, which is really difficult to do unless you use an attack that hits for a very specific amount. That's why Minus Strike is so important here.
Yes. Yeah, so you'll hit, as long as you're between 150 to 200 health below Steiner's max. Doesn't matter what your max HP is with Steiner. You just need to be between 150 to 200 below that. You'll hit Minus Strike. It does the damage, right? So Minus Strike, obviously, you're hitting the strike with the difference between your max health and your current health. So that's why you need it to be that amount. And then once you do that, boom, he opens up. At this point, he is very easy. The only thing you need to worry about is he will use poison. So you just want to have antibody on, honestly, just ideally a Steiner. I mean, it'd be annoying to have to deal with poison a lot, but you just need Steiner's health to remain the same. You never want to heal him, never do anything. Hopefully he won't get attacked. You might have to restart your game a couple of times to make sure that he can get Minus Strike in before Tantarian attacks. But regardless, once you do get that, you can just go to town. Don't use physical attacks. Just do Fyra and Fyra's sword. And mine at the time, I don't, you know, the equipment's going to be different for all of us. But, you know, Vivi was, using Fyra for about 1500. Fyra mm-hmm. Sword was doing about 1700. And so kind of keep these, do some rough math here, right? Keep this in mind, because you're ideally, you want to try to steal as much as possible here. With Antibody, he essentially can't do anything to you at all. It's just sitting there and you're just riding it out. Have Frey on standby to use ethers. Have Zidane just sit there and steal over and over and over again, because he has some pretty decent items. You can't get an ether, it's 100%. Elixir is 25%. I did get the Silver Fork. It is a 6.25%. Nice. I did not get Demon's Mail, and that's okay, because it's a 0.39% steal rate.
Yeah, this is another one of those classic, really difficult steals where I've seen on a lot of Final Fantasy forums where people are talking about Demon's Mail and have you ever been able to actually get one of these and stuff like that. So it's extremely rare. So another couple of things I'd like to add on to is the reason why you don't want to attack this guy with physical attacks when the book is open is because I believe that'll cause him to shut. And that's a really bad thing. You just want it to be, want him to be sitting there. He'll just continue using poison.
Yep.
Use Fyra, and
basically
the other weird thing about this is he randomly closes after a certain amount of time. So you want to be careful, because if you attack him after he closes, he's gonna counter with Paper Storm, and it's gonna be that's gonna be it. So you just want to be really careful with the timing. Probably put the ATB on wait mode for this battle alone. It's a tricky one.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I think it's something around, like, when he uses poison 5 or 6 times, that's when the next time he's going to close. So for the tactic I was using is after about 4 times or so, I would just have Steiner kind of be on standby. So that way, as soon as he was closing, while the graphic is going boom, I already have Minus Strike queued up, had no issues doing that. And the funny thing is, I actually stopped doing damage, and I just kept him alive for another, like, 5 minutes or so, trying to steal, Demon's Mail, and I kind of get it. So, whatever. Finished him off, and here, honestly, I don't even know what Demon's Mail's like. I'm sure Silver Fork's great and all, but, dude, I've never had this before, and I have it equipped on Zidane right now, and it is insane, and that's Running Shoes. I've never had Haste before. That's insane. Like, it is just so crazy good.
That's the major, like, treasure for winning this battle is you get huge amount of experience.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm talking like experience.
3-4 levels.
Yeah, because I think he gives you about 8,000 or something along those lines. He's a really high level. And on top of that, you get the running shoes, which is insane for this point in the game, because you can already get started on auto haste.
Yeah, which again, like I said, I've never even had. And so that was awesome. Also, keep in mind, you get 30 AP for this fight as well. So just about everything you have going will finish, unless it's something crazy like counter or something like that. But yeah, really intimidating fight that is actually very simple as soon as you kind of just get it rolling. If you get things lined up and you're able to kind of get in the rhythm, oh my gosh, super easy. Super, super easy. You just kind of just have to be mindful of certain timings and stuff. But regardless, go get your running shoes, get some auto haste, get some cool weapons. Hopefully, if you're lucky, get Demon's Mail. But it's time to go save the princess. You're probably still fine on time, because 30 minutes is like, wow, could have done this in 2 seconds. But anyways, you basically just progress through the castle. You kind of somewhat know it from when we were there. You just want to go all the way up into kind of where you first met Garnet, and then go past that door, keep going. And then you get into this strange, like, kind of tower tunnel staircase thing.
Yeah.
Dude, what the heck is the point of these spinning platforms? I got no idea. What is it meant to do? Stop people for 2 seconds? Like, I don't understand what it does.
I guess it's supposed to be like a security system of the castle. I mean, because this is getting into that tower part where they have the traps set, and this is where Garnet was saying, it's like, oh, I remember this place.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they sent this off, set this up to prevent invasions or something like that, right? But I get what you mean, because you have to do this whole, there's this like spinning platform that just,
yeah,
it moves in a predictable pattern, but you have to wait to get on it. And then there's a couple of treasures there that you can get, Ice Brand and a tent.
Yep.
Which is pretty nice. If you hadn't got the Ice Brand, this is a good time to get it now.
Absolutely.
It's an extremely powerful weapon.
Yes, and it's free right there. And I mean, that's the thing. When you steal it from Beatrice, it's kind of like cool. But I mean, really, the only time you get to use it on or on the Alexandria soldiers, you know. But it's just, it's funny, man. I mean, because I was thinking about that. I'm like, yeah, okay, I could see it being a defense. At the same time, I could see it defending a against you. Like, yeah. You know, the thief got whatever he is. He's running away and it spins and you get there like, ah, darn. I got to wait for it to spin back around, you know. Meanwhile, he's off running away, you know.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, we're going to keep going down, see what's in store for us. But first, let's get to Bold Move. And I just want to do a disclaimer in case you're new and you don't really know what Bold Move is. This is something, a short little segment Alex and I have been doing since the very beginning, where we're kind of just across all Final Fantasies, we're just selecting a moment, something that happened with the character, whatever it is. But that was a bold move of them. So let's get to it. I'm going to go ahead and start us off here. So my bold move for this episode goes to Tidus in Final Fantasy X. It was kind of a bold move of him at the very end when he jumped off the airship. Now, we know what happened. He was already fading. But what if he didn't? You know, what if it took a little bit? How did he know that when he was finished jumping that he was going to fully be disappeared at that moment? Yeah. What if he's like, oh gosh, yeah. I mistimed it.
He had about 60 seconds of leeway there to make sure that the timing was correct. Otherwise, it's going to be very painful.
Yeah, his last few moments are going to be very, very great. But I was just thinking about that. Man, that was a bold move. He just knew when to jump, or he was just, he's YOLOing it. I don't know.
Yeah, dude, they're always jumping off airships and things like that, right?
No yeah, I mean, totally.
All what right, you got, man? So I got Final Fantasy VII this week. You know, I was thinking about this. We all know the date scene, the date sequence of the gold saucer in Final Fantasy VII. That was quite a bold move for Cloud to consider going on a date with Barrett.
I forgot that you could do
if
that.
You've ever seen, yeah, if you've seen that cutscene. It gets kind of violent. Start shooting his Gatling gun up in the carousel or whatever of the little roller coaster ride. So that's just a really funny segment. It's very difficult to get that scene, but
that's pretty.
There's
hysterical.
A whole like affection.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Oh gosh, that's great. I totally, like I said, I totally forgot you could even do that. That is hysterical. Bold move, Cloud. Going to bro date.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that is our bold moves for this episode, and let's continue on figuring out what the heck is going on in Alexandria. So basically, you get past the spinning platforms that I so complained about a lot, and you go all the way down. It's pretty linear. There's only kind of one way to go, so to speak. And then you're greeted by the room, which you did see. You did see this room with Zorn and Thorn and Garnet. They're kind of extracting the summons out of her, right? And that's you right, get there, and they just come at you, basically. And so it's like, oh, let's do this, man. We've been waiting to put the hurt on Zorn and Thorn for a long time.
Oh, man.
And
I love this battle.
Before we get anywhere, let's go over the steals. So as far as colors go, I don't remember. I think Thorn is the red one. I don't really know.
I'm not sure either, but anyways.
Regardless, Thorn doesn't really have any good treasure for steals. He has a Mithril Armor and Mithril Armlet. 100%, 25% respectively, you can buy this stuff, so it's not really a big deal. Mm-hmm. Zorn, on the other hand, a little different, does have Partisan, you can buy that as well, but 25% chance for Stardust Rod, which I don't think you can get at this point, so that's kind of like the only thing that's new. Not really difficultly hard steal rates either. I mean, I stole 4 times, 2 on each of them, boom, got everything, so I'm good to go.
Yeah, it's the rare ones here in this case, the Mithril Armla and the Stardust Rod are 25%, so you've got a 1 in 4 chance. Not too bad. This is a seriously easy battle, though, because these guys have a very strange, like, attack mechanism or mechanic.
Yeah.
So first of all, it's a 4-on-2 battle. Second of all, they can't actually attack you unless they do the, they'll do this thing where it'll be like Zorn gives Thorn meteor power.
That's right.
Thorn gives Zorn blah blah blah, like flare power or something.
Yeah.
Then they wait a turn, then they can use their turn. So basically meteor is even the only one that you even have to be concerned about. The light flare is absolutely garbage. It does like 200 damage.
Yeah.
But the if you let, I can't remember which one it is, Thorn or Zorn, but if you let them use Meteorite, that can do a ton of damage. It seems to do like proportional damage based on your max HP, but
Okay.
there's a lot of variability and it can totally take out Vivi and all that stuff. Anyways, that's the whole threat with this battle. So as long as you just evenly attack both of them consistently, they can't even do damage to you. So.
No, yeah, and that's funny because as you say, I don't even know if it's ever used Meteorite on me before. So kind of going back to what Alex just said, their life pool is the same. So it's not like you take out one and then take out the other. You just have to cause a specific amount of damage, whatever it is. Attack them evenly, kind of just split it. Attack some, and it kind of just spreads it out. And I don't know, it seems to kind of slow them down a little bit. But regardless, I mean, incredibly easy, especially compared to what you just fought and stuff. And so it'll be over before you know it. And now we got a bunch of stories. So to try to not make it seem overbearing with all the story, we're just gonna summarize. So obviously Dagger's on the kind of like the little ritual platform thing. I just kind of some pointers. I thought it was really funny how Rusty is going crazy. Steiner's over there boo-hooing it up because he thinks the princess is dead. Meanwhile, Freya's like, she's still breathing. Stan's like, yeah, I know. Like, no one's telling Steiner, dude, she's cool, man. She's alive. He's just over there boo-hooing it up because he thinks she's dead. And everyone else is like, so let's get her out of here. So.
Yeah, he's in a state of shock right now because of all the things that have happened recently. He's just even literally just found out that they're about to execute Princess Garnet.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of this is all a big shock for him, and we've been talking about his character arc for a while in terms of how Steiner's developed, from this loyal, like his loyalty to Queen Braun.
Yeah.
And now that's starting to get eroded because he's seeing what she's doing, and it's just not, he's got this, like on one hand he's supposed to be loyal, but on the other hand he's supposed to protect Princess Garnet. So
Yeah.
he's sort of torn between the two.
Going through a dilemma. Once you do get her, though, you kind of just pick her up, Zendane does, that is, and you're just on your way on out. Before you leave that room, basically right where you just fought Zorn and Thorn, there is going to be Mosh the Moogle. Nothing really here. He himself has received a letter from Kupo, and it just kind of talks about like all the crazy stuff happening. So you still just have the one you literally just picked up, Sereno to Mudin. That's all you have here. Garnet needs the rest, though. You go all the way up, and they're like, hey, like, okay, first off, is the queen still not coming in 30 minutes? Like, just because you made it to Garnet in 30 minutes, that means that, like, no one's here? Like, did they forget about that? They were trying to beat the airship, and then they got her, and then they're like, yeah, let's set her on the couch and let her take a nap. Like, dude, is the queen not still coming? I don't understand. And, well, yes, she is actually. A little bit of dialogue between Zidane and Rusty while Garnet's on the couch sleeping. Steiner's kind of like, what's gotten into? You've changed, because Zidane's like sitting there and actually having like an emotional connection with Garnet. At the same time, he's like, I don't know what I'm feeling. I can't even shed a tear. But anyways, Beatrice, round three, fight, right?
Yeah, here we go again. So, the queen walks in, Beatrix walks in. And this is a fun one because this is actually the first time where you get to fight Beatrix with Steiner in your party, which is an interesting kind of thing. It's like, she's been talking a lot of crap pretty much towards Steiner and the Knights of Pluto, so this is your chance. But as always, she's not easy
No.
at all. Not really anything new. She's just a more powerful version of the previous versions we've already fought. So she uses shock. Shock does even more damage now. It's very unlikely you're going to survive unless she uses it on Steiner or Zidane, because it does like 1,000 to
Yeah,
1,100 damage or something like that.
it's substantial.
She does know Kira now, which doesn't really mean anything, to be honest. She'll use it like once or twice, and
Yeah, and it only
go for
heals for like
1,000.
800, which,
Yeah, so.
that's one Steiner attack right there, so.
Right, and then she uses a different final attack this time, right?
Yes. So, what was it originally? Was it Stockbreak or something?
Stockbreak, yeah.
Okay. So that's what she used it in. So this time it's Klim Hazard. And, I just wrote down a note for me because I encountered, it's not a bug, I think it's just a mechanic flaw is what it is. But, so you kill, you land the landing killing blow, so to speak. There we go. You land the killing blow. That's when she does Klim Hazard to end it, right? It's ended. There's no menu. You can't select. It's ended, right? She used it. Boom. Well, It sent Vivian Steiner into a trance is what it did. So that was fantastic. You know, I wasn't saving them for anything, but it's like the match was over. She used it there. Like, it's done. You know, you go on in the story. Nope. First, we're going to let Steiner go trance, and then we're going to pause and then let go. Phoebe go trance, and then it ended. I'm like, well, thanks. Thanks for using my trances. That's fantastic.
So interesting. I was reading, you know, you wrote that down. I never thought about that. I wonder how much it actually fills up your trance bar, because it's sort of an attack that technically does a lot of damage.
Yeah.
It takes whatever you're, it basically drops everybody to one HP. No questions asked, no defense involved, nothing. It just, that's exactly what it does. So it can do like 1,000, you know, 1,200, 1,500 damage.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like what you're saying. That really, dude, it's not good, because it wastes all of their trances.
Yeah, that was not cool. Over. Well, that's the thing. I mean, it didn't take much. They were definitely very close, but it was kind of just like, well, that was wasted, you know? Mm-hmm. The thing about 9, and I kind of do like the older ones, that you can't save your overdrives or whatever. You know, like 10, you can save them. You know, a lot of other ones, you can save it sometimes. I like the ones that happen, but at the same time, they sometimes happen at the worst spots possible. And it's like, oh, my gosh. Oh, but so you do, quote-unquote, defeat her. For the third time, bunch of story here is essentially what it is. We got the queen telling Beatrice, you know, to, go kill Garnet or something like that. But regardless, Beatrice is now resolute in her decision that she will not do the queen's bidding anymore, right? Steiner, oddly enough, is still on the fence, you know, with this. Now, granted, he was not there when the queen said these things, right? So he is still taking word of mouth for everything. Of course, the queen's there now, and he is now hearing some things. But it's just funny, like, even it's to the point where even Beatrice is like, dude, Steiner, face the truth, you know, and stuff. And that is what finally gets his gears rolling.
I know, how funny is that, that it's actually Beatrix that, you know, flips over before Steiner does, in terms of, like, she turns against the queen.
Yep.
And we're about to enter, this is one of my favorite parts in the story, because you get to feel like an absolute god and play and control Beatrix in some battles, which is just so much fun.
It is.
So yeah, Zorn and Thorne come in, and, you know, there's this dialogue and all this stuff, and then the queen basically orders Zorn and Thorne to get rid of them, and so they call in some like a Bandersnatch,
an enemy
that you fight, you get into a battle, it's Frey and Beatrix, and yeah, like I said, this is your chance. You can use Holy, you can use Shock, you can use Clint Hazard, Stockbreak, all of these moves, finally.
Yep, what do you go with, man? What's the first one you always gravitate towards?
Holy. Dude, it's so crazy. It's, what, 36 MP?
Yeah.
That's like 3,000 damage. It's just... it's so crazy.
Dude, well, that's the thing. It's crazy. All the moves do will one-shot the banders. I mean, her normal attacks, too. But... Yeah. Yeah, no, that's funny, because I usually go for Shock. It's just one of those things. It's like, man, I've been taken out by Shock so many times. It's time that I get to take something out with Shock, you know? And it's just funny.
Really,
I'm curious to hear what other people do. Like, you know, obviously you got a bunch to try out, and you will have the opportunity. Granted, you don't run out of MP. Of course, you can use Ethers, but
That's exactly what I was going to say. Unfortunately, she's not like the boss versions that you fight that have, you know, several thousand HP and thousands of MP. She only has like 90 MP, so you'll be able to use Shock once and some other move maybe once or twice, unfortunately. But anyways, it's still fun sequence to be able to play, control her, and all that kind of stuff.
It is. It's cool. When you get to control your, you know, mortal enemies, you know, so far, it's like, oh, heck yeah. But regardless, so essentially what happens is, you know, Beatrice and Freya stay behind to defend the escape of everyone else. And so you're now moving forward. You're basically just going back through where you just did, where you went to go get Garnet. You encounter some more black mages, some new ones. These are type C's. Dude, they got fancy new cloaks. They got this massive, awesome new staff. They got new spells. Still a piece of cake.
pretty much they're
Fyra, Thundara, Blizzara, they do cast those. They will only do like maybe 200 to 300, if that, you know, and so it's still kind of just Actually, they don't even do that. It depends on who they attack, but they just don't do very much still, and it's just kind of like, man, you guys gotta perfect this, man.
Yeah, I know, and this is the final version of the Black Mages that you fight, and they're never really much of a challenge. Though you are kind of with a little bit of a weaker team. You've got Vivi, Zidane, and Garnet at this point.
Or well, you got Steiner side. Still. Yeah, you still got Steiner.
Oh, yeah, right.
For a moment is what it is. But before we do go any further on the escape, we gotta get to our sea trivia first. So let's do it. All right, so sea trivia rank 14, man. Here we go. Our first question will be in Final Fantasy 13. Zaz's best guns, now it doesn't matter, you know, you upgrade them all, it all turns into the same named gun, so it doesn't matter which one it actually was, but the best one is named Total Eclipses.
Best in terms of attack power?
I guess the final upgraded version, there we go, that's what I meant to say.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. Final Fantasy VII. At the Great Glacier, there's one step that needs to be done before you are able to get the Alexander Materia.
That's true.
Final Fantasy XII is our third question. The missing Cactar son, the one that's in the hunt that you have to kill, is named Drub.
False.
Final Fantasy VIII. When Squall or Laguna are pinched, if no frown is shown then, we know that they are no dreamers.
What? False? Not sure. It's an interesting one. It's like a riddle.
You'll understand it once we go over it. All right, Final Fantasy X-2. I'm surprised that you didn't get that one. Final Fantasy X-2. This one you probably will. For LeBlanc's massage, you need at least 40 points in order to, like, progress.
False.
Final Fantasy IX. I Want to Be Your Canary was written by Lord Afon.
Afon with an F or with a V?
With an F.
False. Let's make sure there.
All right, last one. Final Fantasy X. Marborals, and it just kind of goes to all of them. They are weak to ice.
I believe so, true.
All right, man, let's recap these. Going back to Final Fantasy 13, our first question was Zaz's upgraded versions, I guess, because, yeah, best was kind of an obscure term. So, like, when you upgrade the weapons in Final Fantasy 13, if, listeners, you're not, you know, too familiar, it doesn't matter which one it started with. Once you upgrade them all the way, they all have the same name. And it is Total Eclipses, so you got that one correct.
Nice.
Final Fantasy 7, you said, was true at the Great Glacier. There's one step that needs to happen. What is it that you need to do before you're able to get it?
Gotta touch the hot springs, man.
Oh. I almost forget about that every time.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real pain. That area is just the worst in the game, dude. I hate it so much.
It's so hard to navigate.
Yeah. All right, Final Fantasy XII. The missing Cactar son. I was trying to think of a name that was really close. It's not Drub. It's Dran.
Yeah, that's right. It's such
so,
a weird
I know. I was like, man, how do I... I wanted to choose, like, an actual name, like David or something like that, you know? But it's like, that clearly is false because nothing David. Like that exists in Final Fantasy XII. So. Oh, man. All right, man. Here's the Final Fantasy VIII question. I'll switch it up, and all of you get a special treat today. This is going out to all those ladies, East Block on the front row. Did you ever know that I had my eyes on you? That's what it's from, man. Remember, it's like, if, what is it? It's like, pinch you softly but sure. If no frown is shown then I know that you're no dreamer. Come on, man. So you got that wrong, man. Because it is true. If they are pinched and they don't show a frown, they're not a dreamer, okay? Final Fantasy X-2. LeBlanc's massage, you don't need 40, you need 32 points.
Oh, 32, yeah. I knew it was something like, because I've been...
You've been playing through it, yeah.
I've been playing a lot of X2 recently. I've been on a real X2 kick.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get a little very specific with numbers and stuff. Maybe that'll throw you off. Yeah. No luck so far. All right, Final Fantasy IX, I Want to Be Your Canary. Yes, it was not written by Afon, it was Avon, right?
I just have to make sure.
Well, no, I mean, that's yeah. Fawn and Vaughn, you know, yeah, that's definitely close. So that was actually one of the pop quizzes. I took that out of that. That's one of the pop quizzes. So if you ever do encounter that question on your pop quizzes for Final Fantasy IX, make sure you say false. Yeah. All right, and then Final Fantasy X, this was actually true. You said false, so it is other way around. You said it was true. Marbles are weak to ice. They are not weak to ice. They are weak to fire is what they are.
Oh, man.
But regardless, you only missed two, so that means you did pass, and you got seed rank 14.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Time to bust out those paradigms. We're taking it down. No.
Oh, man.
But right
on,
man.
That's a surefire way to do it.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, Alex did obtain his rank 14 seed, I guess, rank. So there we are. And yeah, let's go ahead and let's finish up this episode. See if they can escape Alexandria. Okay, so you take out the basic black mages. They're type Cs. I don't care what types they are. They're basic and they suck. So you get past them. At that point, Steiner is like, you know what? What am I doing? He's worked it through in his brain and he's finally come to a decision. He wants to protect Garnet, essentially. He wants to oppose the queen. What she's doing is wrong. And so he runs on back up. So now, kind of going what you said, we don't really have the strongest party. I mean, we got Zidane, right. Vivi, and Garnet, which please make sure to equip Garnet as well. It's been a long time since you've been able to use her, and you got way better items.
And she's low level as well.
Yeah,
so
this is
kind of a sketchy part. You have to fight a couple of Bandersnatches. Keep in mind, Insomniac is a nice ability at this point. They can put your characters to sleep. They can be kind of tricky.
Yeah. Yeah, you do have to fight them multiple times. You lost your one-shot wander, Steiner, because even if you didn't steal the ice brand, you did get that one out of the chest, and hopefully you equipped it. But it's kind of Vivi at this point. That's kind of who your biggest hitter is using the Tier 2 magics, Fyra, Bizarre, and Thundara. Gotta be a little careful just because Dagger, I think on mine, she's like level 13. You know, that's crazy. It's really low.
Exactly.
And so just want to be careful. But essentially what they're doing is they're escaping the way they came in. They get to the Gargan Rue entrance of Alexandria, where the Steiner, Marcus, and Dagger first got captured, and they get captured again. Zord of Thor comes out. They're like, they fell for it again, the idiots, pretty much.
Seriously, just falling for the same trick over and over and over and over again. It's like, come on, guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can even hesitate right there. You know about what's about to happen.
And yeah, so, exactly, and that's the funny thing. It's like an invisible plot barrier, because you can just sit there for as long as you want, but if you want to progress the story, you're gonna have to fall for the same trick again, unfortunately.
What is it? Zorn and Thorn are sitting on the side, like their hand on the lever, sitting there giggling, just waiting for you to take one more step, and they're like, nope.
they're like, should we send some troops down there? No. Just let them fall for the same mistake. Then we can laugh at them.
Yeah, so. Then we can laugh. But, you know, they're not laughing very long, because then out of nowhere you hear psh, 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 and it's Marcus and Bro Blank. You know, they've come, and so that's kind of a cool, you know, Blank does make his reappearance. We know that Marcus did get the super soft to him. It did work, and then tried to force march him back to Alexandria, and he's like, dude, my legs are stiff, man. I can't run.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't care. Run.
Yeah, so at this point, so Blank is saved and everything, and but you guys, you know, you still have to make your escape. You gotta get Dagger out of there and save her. So you go back to the Gargan, hop on the Gargan, and then it's boss time again.
Again, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. We've had so many bosses here in the last, I mean, you know, you're talking real time in the game. It's been maybe an hour, and you've fought Beatrice a couple times. You've fought the Antlion. You've fought, you know, just Zorn and Thorn.
Other.
Just bosses, bosses, bosses is all that's happened. So, yeah, so you're on the Gargan. Kind of a similar thing the first time we were on the Gargan. There's, like, this giant kind of, like, worm thing, snake, whatever, monster. This one's different. This is the one you were thinking of the first time, man. The Ralvlu Mago or whatever. I don't know.
It's the names are so weird. It's like Ralvlu Mago. Yeah.
Ralvlu Mago. There's an eye in there. I don't know what that does to things, but regardless, the steals. You got a Phoenix down, Adamant Vest, an oak staff.
Which is pretty nice. Yeah, and that oak staff. Again, these rare, I didn't know there were so many rares, rare steels that were 0.39%.
Yes. So. And which is the oak staff, yeah.
Anyways, this guy can be kind of tricky. Let's see, he uses Thundara to the whole party. And he has this thing where he'll randomly coil up, right?
Yes. I think it's only for physical damage. It has to be. And yes, so, I was just using Zidane Stealing for the first bit, and I was just kind of popping off Fyra on him. But side note, I did get Oak Staff and Adamant Vest. I got everything, so kudos to me. It was pretty cool. I don't, some of these percentages, we don't actually know if this is 100%. You know, I don't know how people are factoring these out. We don't know any of this. But we do know that if it is that low, that means it's just a pretty darn low, rate, no matter what the number is. That's just low. But yeah, no, he does reacting to the attack. So it kind of sucks because you have to be very careful with this and how you queue up actions. Because if you do have an attack, essentially, once you're done stealing, you could just ride it out and let Vivi take him out. It really wouldn't be that difficult to kind of avoid this altogether. But if you do want to speed things along, definitely attack with Zidane. I wouldn't attack with Garnet. That'd be pointless. But then he does reacting to the attack. So he coils up, and any damage, magic or damage, or physical, it just, 50 is the maximum. It just does no damage. And then sometimes it was after one attack. It might just be a time-based thing, maybe until his next turn. But then he'll counter. If you attack him when he's coiled up, he'll counter with something called Earth Power, which, it is pretty darn big. Like, it does a lot of damage, about 300 to each. And this is on top of if he's been hitting Thundara. So just kind of be careful and mindful. Thankfully, you have Cure again. So, there's that. And then, potions. But yeah, he is a little more difficult than the first kind of snake little thing, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. And then there was something else that happened with you, right? And
yeah,
I know you've got some good clips of this, so we'll probably have to put some on social media for you guys to see, but there's a little bit of a bug that happened to you with an ether.
Yes, and this was my playthrough from months ago. I was not able to recreate it this time. I don't think I had the parameters correct. So the first time I encountered this bug was, I know that Garnet had Chemist on, and I'm quite certain that Vivi had Chemist on as well. Well, can Vivi even learn Chemist? He can't, can he?
No, he can't. I think so it's just Dagger.
Dagger had it. I don't know what happened, because she did have it this time. So what happened the first time was I used an Aether on Vivi. It gave him something like 100,000 MP. Just an insane number. It was just a block of numbers. I was like, what just happened? So in that same game, same battle, I used it again, and same thing. And then I went to look at the MP, and he had negative MP. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? Like, oh my gosh. And Alex said I did get some clips. I was a little too shocked to get some great ones, and I got it. It was just crazy. It was insane. So we'll be posting that out there. It's going to be hilarious. Unfortunately, I was not able to do it. I used an ether and it gave him 300, MP, and I was like, oh, that's lame. And so wasn't able to recreate it. But yeah, if you encounter that bug, we would love to see how it is for you, because we were on the phone, I think, when I was doing it that first time, and it was just hysterical, man.
I saw some of those clips. I've never had it happen to me. I've had some buggy things happen before in general, but
yeah.
Man, it was just bizarre seeing what was going on. I mean, it like the ether healed for like an obscene amount of MP for some reason, and
yeah. Meanwhile, I had negative MP,
Right, it caused your actual MP value to just spaz out.
It's crazy, but be looking out for that for sure. But regardless, he's not too hard of a boss. You just got to get through the damage, but he doesn't have that much health. You'll be able to take him out in no time. Then your Gargan continues on. And at first it's like, hey, why is it going slow? And then it starts to pick up pace because now it's getting chased by this. And so it kind of goes through without bouncing around too much. Essentially what happens is you pass Trino. You're not able to hop off. You're going too fast. And then, you just get tossed out to a place called Pinnacle Rocks. Now, we will pick that up in the next episode. But before that happened, there was a little bit of a side kind of scene going on. It wasn't ATE, but it pretty much was. And who's in this?
A little scene here with Lainey. So this is a character, or an NPC that's going to be kind of important in the future. And another one too, this mysterious kind of red-haired bounty hunter. And yeah. Of course, Lainey is the best and most beautiful bounty hunter.
That's how she refers to herself, at least, so yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, the queen, here we go again. She's hiring them to go and get the pendant back, and she's basically just outright saying it. Garnet does not have to be alive. Just get that pendant.
Well, yeah, because that's what they're like, you know, what if we're met with force? And, you know, she's like, I don't care, just get it back. And she also put the hit out on Vivi.
That's right, the defect is running.
It's funny, because the red-haired guy looks over to, like, there's a black mage in the background. He's like, well, what's that? And she's like, a soulless golem. And then she says, like, something about Vivi, you know, is a defective unit or something like that. And so,
yeah,
it's kind of crazy. And then, you know, the red-haired dude is like, I hear there's someone with a monkey tail. And the queen's like, yep, totally. Take him out for a bonus, you know. And so basically she's just like, yeah, why? We're hiring some bounty hunters to go kill all of them and get my pendant back. So
crazy. She's pretty just, ruthless, she's man. She's stooping to an all-time low.
Yeah, she's losing control, trying to get everything back at all costs kind of a deal. And so crazy stuff. But that aside, as I said, you know, the game kind of ends up at Pinnacle Rocks. We never did go back to Steiner, Freya, and Beatrice yet, so we don't really know what's going on there. But that is where we're going to leave it for this episode. A little bit longer one this time, so we hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. And as always, we thank you so much for listening and supporting us and just being here, hanging out with us in the podcast. We're loving it. More to come soon, of course. And yeah, make sure to follow us on Instagram. We're really enjoying it. We just post basically just pictures and clips of our progression through, like the same things that we do for the podcast. So you listen to this episode, you can expect to see the media reflect that, you know, in the week forward or however long until we get the next episode out. And so it's kind of fun. It's kind of cool. It keeps things current and just very relatable in kind of little, you know, little tidbits here and there. So it's awesome. Make sure you also check out Final Stop for FinalFantasyTalks.com. It's where our blog is. We post the city trivia questions there. We post any music that's, you know, particularly awesome there as well. And then, of course, also the music for our short segments, and just has a little bit of like extra stuff there. So, sure, check that out. I'm Mark.
I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.